The longest study on adult development and life satisfaction was completed at Harvard by Robert Waldinger and his team. They were tracking 700 men over the course of 75 years. And there was one thing specifically that they concluded, and that is, and I quote, "Warmth of relationships throughout life have the greatest positive impact on life satisfaction," end of quote. Pretty amazing, huh? But let's talk about warmth in our relationships, especially with our spouse after having kids. Sleepless nights, overflowing laundry baskets, endless dinners, they can all definitely put a strain on a marriage. You're absolutely not alone if you've been feeling more hostility, resentment, and just bitterness in your relationship lately. Learning to connect with your partner is truly an art. And after having kids, it becomes a very sophisticated art. I know deep in my heart that it is so possible to create that relationship that you want, to have a warm relationship that will be able to promise you life satisfaction. But you need to learn how it's done. In today's episode, we talk about connection with your husband and how to merge two families' cultures together to create one connected, beautiful family. And before we go into the episode, I would really love to call out to everyone that if you are feeling alone in this feeling, first of all, you're not alone. There are so many others that feel the same way, but please don't go on this journey by yourself. If you need help, how to take your relationship from the hostility, bitterness, any uncomfortable, yucky feelings that you're going through, and you want to make it into something beautiful that will bring you that satisfaction, that will be a relationship that transforms your life, please DM me or Cynthia, who's here today, and be in touch with someone who can help you really get to that place, because it is so possible. I am here to change the culture of relationships. I am here to bash divorce rates. There's no reason for you to be unhappy in your relationship. So please reach out, send me a DM, and let's make this happen. So today in our episode, Cynthia Pecking is with us. And she's sharing with us her wisdom. Cynthia Pecking is a marriage and self-transformation coach who helps women become unstuck, rewrite their love story, and rediscover their sense of identity within the context of their relationship. Backed by a deep understanding of psychology and a transformation story of her own, Cynthia has helped countless couples reconnect and find hope again. An avid traveler and culture buff, Cynthia speaks three languages and doubles as a professional translator specializing in the arts. She's a mom of two and traded life in her native home of Kentucky in the U.S. 14 years ago to build a home in Germany with her husband, Alec. Enjoy the episode. Hey, and welcome to the New Mama Marriage Bliss Show. I want to help you get out of the overwhelming distance and guide you to reconnect to yourself and to your husband. You know you want things to be different, but you're probably not sure how to make it happen. Well, Mama, you're in the right place. Here we will dive into all the things you need to start loving your life and relationship and start living like soulmates and not roommates anymore. We will dive into motherhood, marriage, communication, holistic inspiration, and practical hacks and tips. Mama, I believe that transformation and deep connection await you. Hi, I'm Aliza Saeed, proud mama and grateful wife, and the Mama Marriage Coach. You too can turn your mess into magic. Come on, Mama, and let's do it together. Hi, Cynthia, and welcome to the podcast. I'm so excited you're here. I've been following you a little bit on Facebook and Instagram, so it's very exciting for me to actually have you here on the podcast.
Hi, Aliza. Thank you so much for having me today. I'm very excited to talk with you.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about your story and who you are?
Okay. Well, I have kind of a different background, I guess. So I was raised in the States in Kentucky and was always a super curious kid, really creative kid, really interested in culture and language and people who were different. I never wanted to be, you know, I never wanted to conform and be like everyone else. I always wanted to know what else is out there, you know, how can I be different? And that sort of led me into a career with languages and culture. And So I did a degree in French. I lived abroad several times, and then I ended up moving to Paris and became a French translator. And while I was in Paris, I happened to meet my husband, who was a German. And so, long story short, I'm now living in Germany. We had a long distance relationship for a while I was finishing up my education. And then I moved to Germany to be with him. And I've been here now for 14 years, and I have two kids with him. We live in a little town called Hattingen, really cute. It's still one of those walled cities, with that's where all of the houses inside of the city wall are, like 500, 600 years old. And yeah, just working as a translator, and now really beginning to build up a marriage coaching and relationship coaching business that has stemmed out of some turbulent, rocky times that my husband and I had, like every couple has. And that has just sort of organically grown into a passion of mine. And so that's what I'm doing now.
Thank you. Do you want to tell us a little bit about what you went through and how you knew that this is what you wanted to do?
Sure, I would love to. Well, we were your typical couple. We actually have a pretty remarkable love story. We met in Paris, and my husband was there on vacation with a friend of his, and he and I hit it off so well that he said to his friend, "I'm sorry, you're just going to need to go home without me." And he stayed. And he stayed in Paris for 4 more days, and we just had one of those, beautiful romances, walking, laying under the Eiffel Tower with wine, and walking along the Seine, and just, being like young kids, carefree. And then he went back to Germany. I went back to the States, and we kept in touch and visited each other back and forth. And so that turned into a 4-year relationship. And then I decided to move to Germany. And it was kind of under the pretense of, let's just see what happens. Let's see if this works, And then I never left.
Wait a minute,
So,
4 days to a 4-year distance relationship? That's unbelievable. How'd you survive those 4 years?
It was okay, actually. I think because we were not used to being together before we had the long distance relationship, it was kind of all we knew. So, and we were both in school and studying and doing our own thing, and so it was actually kind of a nice arrangement. We had each other, but we still kind of had our freedom. And and then after I moved to Germany, we did the things that you do, step one, step two, step three, which was, get engaged and then get married and then have kid number one and then, try for kid number two, buy a house, have kid number two, buy the 2 cars, get into financial trouble. Life just got really, really, really big. Really big, everything all at once. My daughter was also, I had a really difficult pregnancy with my daughter, our second child, and was really it had really bad gestational diabetes and insulin dependent, and just couldn't get my sugar down no matter what I ate, and just very, very stressed out. And then when she was born, she also had some medical issues, and then there was no money, and it was just like really overwhelming, everything at once. And we completely lost touch with each other, completely disconnected. I was sort of, my head was only in the mom game. So that's where my focus was. And he was sort of just trying to keep the family afloat. And it was just total disconnect. And I remember back then thinking, kind of sensing that something was wrong, but since when I was on the playground, since everybody else was complaining about the same stuff at home, everybody, all of us moms get together, and then it's my husband doesn't do this and my husband doesn't do that. And, we don't have anything to talk about anymore. And all of the things that the moms complain about on the playground, it just seemed to me like, well, this must be normal. And then one day, it just became too much. And my husband said, I think we need a break, and I think we need to separate. And that began our sort of our journey of transformation. And we both immediately sort of put ego aside and decided that we, didn't want to live in a victim, have a victim mindset. And we both just kind of instinctively, I don't know why, but we both instinctively just looked inward and thought, okay, how is this happening? What happened? Where did we go wrong? and just really started to do some inner work. We both got in therapy and just started like working through the muck, you know, and figuring out where things went wrong. And through that process, we both individually completely transformed, sort of rediscovered ourselves and found our way back to who we are, you know, in our authentic core. And then ended up connecting as a couple again. And yeah, just sort of almost equate it to, it was like we went from being married sort of as a boy and a girl to a man and a woman, you know, we like just sort of matured into a real mature relationship. So, and since then, you know, I've just been able to help so many friends. People have, you know, just fallen into my lap. You know, I'll get phone calls, I'll get, you know, messages from friends who need help, and just organically, a one-on-one coaching business has just sort of grown out of that.
Thank you so much for sharing. There's a few things I would want to unpack there. We'll see what we get to. You said about two things. You said about complaining at the playground with all the other moms and then wanting to get out of this victimized state of mind. And I feel like there's so many moms out there that are stuck exactly at that point in the playground, like listening to everyone around them saying, yeah, I don't have anything to talk to my husband about. I don't feel great with myself. I don't feel great in my relationship. And we think that that's where it has to end. And I think that it takes so much courage to be able to say, no, I'm not a victim, not in motherhood and not in marriage. And I'm going to get up and change this. So where would you say someone could find even the courage to get out of that place when they're in like just not having time for anything? How do you find that courage when you want things to be different?
Oh, that's a beautiful question. I'm so glad you asked that. I think the first step is to have grace with yourself and grace with your husband. You know, this is, especially if this, if it's your first child, you know, this is a completely new situation. You're sort of hit with a ton of bricks, you know, it's something that you've never done before. And in terms of connection, you know, I think a lot of times we tend to like keep score and look at all of the things that we're, you know, doing as a mom. You know, we're breastfeeding, we're trying to get the house in order. And we tend to like not, you know, feel like our husband is not helping us at all. And a lot of times we need, you know, it's a connection problem. And so as women, you know, I don't mean to generalize, but a lot of times women need emotional connection before they can provide physical connection. And men need physical connection before they can provide emotional connection. So I think with everything that you're dealing with as a young mom, you know, if your husband sort of approaches you for intimacy, it can make you feel like this is another thing that he's putting on my plate, another thing that I have to, you know, deal with, when in reality, you know, his wife has sort of been hijacked by this little person, and he's probably just looking for connection. And so it's sort of the chicken and the egg scenario, you know, what comes first, the chicken or the egg, emotional or physical connection. And I think, you know, you're asking, how do you get unstuck from that? And I think it's just about awareness and you know, having grace with yourself and your husband and being aware that this is really, it's a really turbulent time. You know, you're trying to connect with your husband. You're trying to be a good mom. And maybe you've had 12 minutes of sleep the past, you know, 5 nights in a row. And just finding little ways to connect with each other every single day. So, you know, and then just also understanding that everybody's just really doing the best that they can do.
Yeah. So where could she start? Where should she start connecting to her husband? How could she, you know, make those little changes that you say can help?
Yeah. Well, you know, I think when you're in that position, it's sort of like, I think we have to be sensitive to not give moms another thing, you know, on their plate, another task to do. So I would love to phrase this as, if you have the extra energy, you know, when you feel motivated, when you feel like you can do it, you know, first of all, have grace with yourself. If you're tired, you know, it's all completely normal. But a few hacks that you can do. So for example, that chicken and the egg scenario where the husband is wanting to connect physically, the wife is wanting to connect emotionally, who goes first, you know, what comes first, the chicken or the egg. Sometimes if you can find a hack in the middle, like sort of a compromise, you know, it can even be like a sex game, like a card game, you know, where you have questions to ask each other that would give the women emotional connection, because you're talking about your feelings, you're talking about, you know, maybe your fantasies or what's going on in your mind, and then it would lead to physical connection. So that's sort of like a hack in the middle. Also just opening up and communicating with your husband and just being honest and transparent and just saying, you know, I really want to connect, but I'm so tired, and what I need from you, you know, is just for you to see me and acknowledge, you know, what I'm going through right now, and just connect that way, you know, just talking about the situation, just being open about the situation. Another little hack is music. Turn music on, you know, that makes you feel young again, that takes you back to your early days, to take you back. And it doesn't even have, I mean, it can be from when you were dating with your husband. It can also be like from when you were a teenager, you know, turn on, depends on how old you are, but turn on 80s ballads or 90s music and just rock out and just forget for a second that you're a mom and you're a wife, and just get back to your true authentic self, just for a minute, you know. And that can help you sort of get unstuck for a little bit. And then another hack is it's really easy, I think, when we're so tired and we're so sort of overstretched, to just zone out in the evening with TV, you know, that's so, just pop on the Netflix and just, just zone out. But, you know, if you're feeling the energy, you know, to connect with your husband, if you can just have one night, keep the TV off and just, you know, if you're drinking, you might be breastfeeding, but if you're drinking, you know, have a glass of wine or, you know, have a tea together and just talk about your day, talk about what's going on. Or even just sit in silence outside, like in the nighttime air, you know, if it's a nice summer night, you know, and just, I think it's a lot of times it's just about pulling, when you're trying to get unstuck, it's just about pulling yourself out of that situation that has you feeling so overwhelmed, and just doing something, you know, out of the norm, or reconnecting with yourself or yourselves as the couple before life got so big.
So I'm hearing you say, step one, reconnect to yourself, and then just be really intentional on little things that you could do together, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Just, you said about TV or phones. Like, we had a rule for a long time. Lately, we haven't done it because it's now my alarm clock, which I didn't have before, but no phones allowed in the bedroom. Because then, like, when you're going to sleep, then instead of just, you know, scrolling or answering WhatsApps or whatever, you have no phones and no distractions, and you have to talk to each other because there's no other distractions. So those distractions can be so, you know, big game changer when you just take those away a little bit. So I'm hearing you say, reconnect to yourself and then reconnect to your husband intentionally, simply, right?
Yes, exactly. Yes. And it can be, you know, it can just be many little action steps and ones that work for you, you know, which can be just intentionally, you know, giving your husband a kiss in the morning and telling him how grateful you are for him, which you might not be feeling right now, you know, when you're in the trenches. You know, or just taking little, you know, inviting him out, you know, to sit, like I said, sit out, you know, on the balcony or in the backyard or something, and just have a moment of connection. Just any little, little mini action steps that feel right for you.
Yeah, you said how, like, even if you're not feeling it in the moment, and I kind of want to parallel it to, like, languages, because you said you're a translator, and as someone who has also learned two different languages in my life, you know how, like, sometimes in the beginning when you're learning a language, so you might say something and it doesn't really have that meaning for you, but you know, like, in your mind that that's what it means, right? But even though when you say the word, you maybe, if there's someone out here that's listening that has never learned a new language, you have no idea what I'm talking about. But, like, you're saying this word, like, you know that that's what it means, but you don't feel that that's what it means. And it's kind of like the same thing in a relationship. We were talking about the physical or intimate or physical or emotional intimacy. Maybe I'm not feeling like this kiss right now is the way I'm going to show love. But once I do it and it becomes a language that I learn how to speak, then the meaning will come as it goes. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think with physical intimacy, that's a lot of times the case is that, as a young mom or with small kids at home, you just feel like, I'm so tired. Like I said, you might have had
Touched out.
12 minutes of sleep the night before and you just can't do it. But, if you can, just, sort of put yourself in that space. You can also do things on your own before you connect with your husband to get you in that space, whether it's music, whether it's a hot bath, whether it's a glass of wine, or like I said, if you're drinking, whatever makes you feel not only relaxed, but also yourself. For me, I also dance ballet. So ballet is something that takes me back to my childhood and makes me feel, helps me forget that I'm 42,
Wow.
makes me feel like I'm 14 again. And then I just feel more in touch with myself. And then it's easier for me to sort of reach out and make those strides towards connection, even if I'm not feeling it in the moment.
Yeah. It really reminds me in Judaism, we have this like monthly ritual of immersing in a bath water when you have your period, when you have your menstrual period. And one of the steps before you go into the water is you have to look at yourself in the mirror and like look over your whole body. And when you think about that, it could be like, why do I have to look over my body? And I love the idea of every month we change as people and we change as a woman. Our bodies change. I mean, here's a postpartum mama that my body has changed so much. And every month you have to look over your body and like return and anchor back into who you are before you can connect on that emotional, physical, intimate level with someone else. Like first, go back to who you are. Look at yourself. Mm-hmm. Love yourself. Accept yourself. And then you can go and love someone else on a deeper level. But it really has to start with that, going back to, like you say, like go back to be the ballet dancer, go back to, loving who you are. I love that.
Oh, what a beautiful ritual too. I love the idea of just doing a check-in and,
it's a beautiful ritual. It definitely is. Yeah. It gets some bad rep because people don't understand it, but it definitely is very beautiful. So yeah.
I think a lot of people don't like being told what to do or being told that they need to do some type of ritual or tradition or something. But it's so, like you said, anchoring and so, just something that forces you out of the routine and just sort of grounds you for a bit. I love that.
Yeah. So you mentioned also that you had a difficult pregnancy. And also as a birth doula, I know that pregnancy sometimes can be a really rough patch for some marriages. For some, it's like this unbelievable, oh my goodness, look, we're creating life together and really excited. And then sometimes they understand the challenges after the pregnancy. But for some, pregnancy also is a very difficult period of time, especially if you're going through a hard pregnancy. Can you give us any tips to how to connect during pregnancy? Maybe even a woman is not allowed to be intimate physically during that time. Maybe a woman, medically is not allowed. Maybe she's too heavy in pain, whatever. Like maybe the physical intimacy is not even something that is allowed at that time. So how else could a couple really connect on an emotional, physical level?
That's a great question. At first, I want to say that I have had both experiences. My first pregnancy I felt like I was on drugs. I was so happy. I had these super happy hormones, had no problems whatsoever. And my second one was so difficult and I was so stressed out. My husband was also, it just wasn't really good timing, I would say. And, my husband wanted to wait and I, sort of convinced him not to wait. And we just weren't really wet ready. And, I feel like, God showed us a lot of grace on that one because we not only had a healthy daughter, but she's amazing. I can't, she's one of those like extraordinary souls in this world. So how to connect when your pregnancy is difficult. I really, like you said, physical connection might not be an option. I really think just talking and communicating and just being vulnerable and being open, talking about how you feel physically and emotionally, having grace with yourself. Let's see, how else could you connect? I mean, I think that's the best thing that you can do. And then just, also even just taking walks together and, like getting out of the normal routine. And just, I think the best thing that I would say is just connecting through talk, and connecting through doing what you can. Maybe light touch, maybe light massage, if that feels good for you.
Yeah. You also said breaking routine, which can also be really powerful. Like in our relationship, we have like these two words that means a lot to us. It's like I'm either in being or I'm in doing. There's like these two states of minds that I could be in doing that I'm like, doing everything that needs to be done and I'm in the schedule and I'm, working on everything that needs. And then there's this state of being, of just being present and being able to savor the moment and being able to. And my husband will, he just said to me yesterday, I'm way in doing and it's really hard for me to be in being and it's hard for me. And that's something that I think also maybe be able to just like the shift of, okay, let's stop the doing for a minute. Let's stop the, even pregnancy, especially when it's a hard pregnancy, can be full of medical, checkups and so many things that you have to get done, getting ready for the baby, like being in this doing, and just stop and be in a being mode in whatever way that is. If it's short walks, like you said, if it's light stroking on the couch, like just take a moment to be in the being state. I think that that's, yeah, so
And not
key.
trying to figure anything out for a moment, not trying to figure out how to feel better, whether the pregnancy is okay, whether the baby is okay, just being it within yourself, just being, but also with your spouse, just laying and being and enjoying each other.
Absolutely. I am so curious to ask you, what does the Blue Letter Project mean? Because that's your name on Instagram. And what is that?
I love that you asked. So the story behind the name, so I decided that I'm going to do the marriage and relationship coaching, and last summer I was sort of tossing and turning one night, thinking, I need to give this name. I need to put it out there and give the name, and tossing and turning all night long, and all of these, the marriage hub or the relationship kitchen, I don't know, just all kinds of names coming into my mind, and all of a sudden just popped in my mind the Blue Letter Project. And I just had this gut feeling that's what it's supposed to be called. And so I committed in my mind, and I had no idea why. And I thought the universe will give me a download and will let me know what that's about, and it took a few days, and then I got my download. And basically the color blue, so the color blue symbolizes the ocean, the sea, but it also symbolizes the sky. And for me, marriage is a grounding institution, but it's also one for transcendence. So your marriage is there, to give you, like I said, grounding, but also security and stability, which is, the ocean. But it's also there for you to transcend, to move up, to grow together, because your marriage is not about meeting your perfect partner. It's about meeting someone that you can grow with. And so the sky, represents the transcendence and the open, wide open spaces and the wide open possibilities. What I also love about the ocean and the sky is that sometimes it's calm and sometimes it's very stormy. So that's what the color blue represents. It's the ocean and the sky and the storms and the calm, and then the letter is what I love about the letter is, and I don't mean like a letter. I mean, like a written letter. And, love has been expressed for centuries through letters. So whether it was expressed on the, from the front lines of war through a letter, or forbidden lovers sending letters. My husband and I, when we first met, the long distance relationship, we sent letters, we sent actual letters for a couple years. And so those two ideas put together resulted in the Blue Letter Project. And when I eventually bring out my course, which is not ready yet, but I will have an exercise where we write blue letters, one to ourselves and one to our spouse.
Wow, I'm so glad I asked. I love that. That's so beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you.
So you spoke about letters and sending to your husband, and it brings me back to this, like, that you both come from very different cultures. And as I shared with you, my husband and I also come from different cultures. I was born in the US. He was born in Argentina. We both live in Israel now. My father was born in India and my mother was born in America, like, you know, prim and proper America. And I think that there's a lot with bringing two different cultures together. And even if you're not from two different, complete different cultures, every family has their own culture, right? Like, it doesn't matter if you're from a different place, even if you live next door to each other, each family has a different culture. So from an expert like you on cultures, how would you say you can make it easier to bridge between two different cultures, in, like my culture, his culture? How do we make our own family culture from both of us?
Oh, that's an awesome question. I think it's about looking at it as an exciting new adventure instead of some type of, you know, hindrance or barrier. So the differences between US and German culture, I would say the main differences, and I can't really say US culture, I have to say where I'm from the Bible Belt, you know? So when I was growing up, life revolved around, you know, church and spirituality and community, which was a beautiful, beautiful thing. And I'm so grateful for that experience. And over here in Germany, there's not, it's not as present, I guess. I mean, you know, my husband and I are both Christian. We have the same religion. And that's part of our family culture, but, just looking at it with curiosity and, you know, what's different about your culture and what can we sort of combine from the two cultures to make our own family culture, like you said. In our family, we actually have words that are like a mixture, like just funny little like family jargon that's a mixture between English and German. And it's so funny because I've actually heard some of my son's friends use those words because they've heard them in our house so much. So one of them, for example, is my son calls his blanket, he sleeps with his blanket. And I used to always call it your snuggle blanket. And so they've turned that into use as a German, they've like Germanized the word into my schnuggle blanket. And so I'll hear my friend's son say, hey, don't forget your schnuggle blanket before you come spend the night, you know? I think just approaching it with curiosity and what can we take?
Because it's so easy to like condescend on the other culture, like, no, this is the way it's done, and not, you know, and to really see it as an adventure, like you said, and have curiosity about it can completely change it. And it reminds me of a story that we tell in our family a lot. When my parents got married, so my father's grandmother was coming from India, and my grandmother from my other side is from like Connecticut, like very, you know, wow, American. You know, mm-hmm. You know what that means. And yeah, his grandmother come off the plane with a sari, and I think she was barefoot, and she was like, there's no way she's coming like that to the wedding, right? And my mother was like, yes, she is going to come like that to the wedding. And she's like, no, I'm taking her now to go buy shoes. So so they went together and like bought her these sandals that she was willing to wear. But like just seeing the two different cultures together, it could either be something that like, you know, can cause a lot of conflict, or you could see it as something beautiful to merge together and learn so much from other people.
Absolutely. Yeah, and we have, you know, traditions where I'm from that my husband has adopted even more than me. Like when we fly home to the States, he's the one sitting out with my uncle smoking a cigar and having a whiskey, which is totally Kentucky. And that's not anything that I would do, you know. And we also bring humor into it. Like a lot of times, so Germans tend to be very, I wouldn't say they're fearful, but, you know, security and stability is like a very important virtue in Germany, which considering their past, I think that's pretty understandable, you know, that they want to feel secure. And I feel like where I'm from, you know, it's sort of, Americans are sort of, you know, more adventurous in terms of like, well, just try it out, it'll work out, you know? Yeah. And so when my husband is self-employed, and when he was starting his business, you know, he was really afraid. And I just kept telling him, go for it, you know, follow your heart. It'll be great. You know, why would it not work? It's what you're passionate about. And you know, he credits me. He says it's because of you that I, you know, found the courage to take the plunge. And our different families were, their reaction to him starting a business was so different. The German side was almost everybody said, oh, have you thought through all the risks? You know, what if it doesn't work out? You know, you're giving up your job. Like, you know, everything's going to be on you. And my family in the States was like popping open champagne. They're like, woohoo, we were wondering when you were going to go for this, you know, like it's going to be awesome. And so a lot of times when my husband, you know, is fearful about something or taking the next step, you know, like I'll joke about it and say, stop being so German.
And yeah. Even we're talking about, you know, like different countries, and I'm sure that there are people here that don't have all those countries in their lives, but it's reminding me of my friend that she said that their first fight, real fight, was about where to put the garbage can. Because in her family, it needed to be under the sink. And in his family, it had to be like, oh, far away from the kitchen because it smells and you don't put it close.
Right.
And like that was the first, and because in their culture it was that way, and in their family culture it was that way. So it doesn't matter where you're from, where, you know, when you we're bringing two people together, we're bringing together two cultures essentially. So
right,
anybody.
We also, just one other little story is that Germans always close the bathroom door when they come out, like when they're finished, they close the door, and Americans leave it open. And so I had to learn that in the beginning, you know, and when my family would visit in Germany, they're, you know, standing outside of the bathroom door for 25 minutes waiting, like, why is this person taking so long? And there's nobody in there because the Germans just closed it up. And so there's all these little things that you have to learn, like things are just done differently.
Absolutely. All right. I have one more other funny culture difference.
Okay.
Culture difference story. So when my father moved to America, he was from India. He was six when he moved. But then when he was in high school, he told his mother, who was still wearing a sari at the time and still very traditional Indian. So he told her that that he's going to start being in the football team. And he was so excited, and he goes out to buy all this equipment that he needs. And she says that she wasn't sure what he needed, like, this helmet for. And I mean, he's going to play football, which to her is soccer. And she goes to see the first game, and she's sitting up in the bleachers, and she sees everybody like really tense. And the first play goes out, and my father ran. I don't really know the rules of football. I used to. We used to have to sit and watch it every Sunday, but I don't remember anything. So anyways, my father ran the wrong way or whatever, and he got completely tumbled down, and everybody, you know, was like laying on top of him and toppling him, and like, you know, a real good American football game. And my grandmother freaked out, and she starts running down the bleachers screaming, they're killing my son, they're killing my son, because to her, he was supposed to be playing soccer. And like, what's going on there? So sometimes even just the words that we use can mean such different things. I actually wrote a post about it on Instagram about how for one person, it's actually a true story, chicken soup could mean like this heartwarming thing that I'm going to make for you. And maybe for the other, it's like, that's what you make when you don't have anything else to make for me. So just, you know, one thing in a relationship, just the word can mean so many different things for one person. So if you want to be able to connect, make sure you're using the same dictionary and you're using the same meaning for the words that you're using. Do you have any other hacks or tips that you want to add for connection?
I think what I really would love to say is just when you're, you know, when you have small kids at home and you're finding it hard to connect and everything, the first thing that you need to really remember is that you're laying the foundation for your child's life. So if this feels overwhelming and difficult and, you know, like you're having to sacrifice and compromise so much, just remember that you're laying, you know, these are their foundational years, like their first years. And if you feel like you're not accomplishing anything, you're actually accomplishing that, you know, you're laying those first foundational years of love and affection and closeness and a sense of belonging. So just know that this is an incredibly important job that you're doing right now. And then the second thing is just to remember that this is temporary. You know, like it's really just unless you have five kids, like you, Elisa, where you don't, where you don't move out of the storm as quickly, but it's a beautiful storm too, isn't it? But that it's just temporary, you know, it really will, things really will go back to normal, you know, it'll all definitely get easier. So
where can we find you?
Well, you can find me on Instagram at The Blue Letter Project, all one word. Or you can find me, my Facebook group is also called The Blue Letter Project, not one word, but if you just type in The Blue Letter Project, you'll find my page, and there's a link up in the, what's it called, the, you know, the banner at the top to join the group. And so I do a little bit on my page, but the magic really happens in the group. That's where everybody's sort of conversing and sharing tips, and I do videos on sensuality and ego and the love languages and conflict and female energy and rediscovering your purpose and just everything that we deal with as moms and as wives, you know, within committed relationships.
Awesome. Thank you so much. We'll have everything linked down in the show notes as well, so it will be easy to get to. And before we finish, there are these short and sweet questions that I like to ask my guests. So if you could just share with us, you could do it as short as you want or say as much as you want. What is one of your favorite things about being a mom?
Oh, my favorite thing about being a mom is being vulnerable with my kids and helping them through their vulnerability. So I've got two very different kids. My son is very, very sensitive, sort of deals with anxiety, very, you know, deals with self-doubt. And so my favorite moments with him are laying in bed with him and just, he'll say, "Mom, can we talk about feelings?" And so we'll talk through his feelings. And, you know, I feel like I've managed to show him that I'll tell him that he's a feeler, and that being a feeler is a superpower, and that he's going to do great things in this world if he can, you know, stay in touch with that empathy and with those feelings. And then my daughter, it's just, she, like I said, she's this extraordinary soul. Like she's the extreme opposite, so self-confident and so sure of herself. And so it's just those moments of, you know, she thinks she's a witch. And so she'll say, like, "I'm a good witch and I can do magic," you know, and she'll tell me like all of the things that she's imagining up in her mind. And she's just like the perfect example of embodiment. Like she's so in her body and so just in touch with herself. So just, I think just helping my kids grow and just like learning from them because they have so much to teach. And then I would say my other favorite part about being a mom is the sisterhood with other moms. And I know that might sound a little bit cheesy, but I take that mission very seriously. So, you know, my son had a friend who was diagnosed with cancer, and, you know, everybody was sort of, all the other moms, I think, were sort of nervous to reach out, you know, to sort of experience that vulnerability with the mom. But I reached out and was, you know, in constant contact and just kind of, and then she would constantly send me updates, and he has now made a full recovery. And so it was like, you know, like going along the journey with her and then being able to really rejoice at the end with her. Where there was a podcast I was listening to the other day, and they made the analogy that as women, you know, it's like we're on a ladder, and when we've moved up the ladder a little bit, we have a moral obligation to reach down and pull our sisters up underneath us. And so that, I really enjoy that in motherhood. It might sound cheesy, but I just really enjoy the sisterhood. And
yeah, it's not cheesy at all. It's actually one of the things that I feel when I'm like awake in the middle of the night with a newborn, and you kind of feel like everybody's sleeping except all of that tribe of mothers with me, you know, like that's when I feel the most connected. So like all the mothers out there, not cheesy at all. So important.
Oh, that just gave me goosebumps.
Thank you so much. Okay. And how about one of the biggest challenges of motherhood?
I would say the biggest challenge of motherhood is feeling helpless, is having to relinquish control, you know, because these are the, you know, little souls who have their own will, strong will, and who have to sort of carve their own path. And so I think being a mother is just about relinquishing control, praying a lot and just loving them with everything you've got, you know, and just doing your absolute best, being there, showing up, continuously showing up, showing love, and just trusting that they're going to carve their own path.
I love how when I asked your favorite thing was being vulnerable and the most challenging is being helpless, which might be similar, except a lot of differences there. Interesting.
Yeah. And I think the difference there is the feeling of being helpless is a yucky feeling. But then when you've sort of worked through the vulnerability and you're repairing with your child, you know, if there was like a challenge, that's my favorite part.
Yeah. Vulnerability is that, I don't want to say hopelessness, but that like out of control, but with the trust that you said that you need.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. All right. How about an embarrassing mommy moment?
Oh, that's it. I've got a good one. So I was with my son, my first, I was in a baby group and just a baby play group. And he, you know, had like a dirty diaper or something. And I realized that I didn't have enough wet wipes left. I just had like one tiny little wet wipe left. And so I thought, well, no problem. I'm in a room full of new moms. I mean, you know, everybody has wet wipes. And so I sort of whispered to the mom next to me. I said, hey, I just ran out of wet wipes. Can you help me out? And she said, she was really judgmental and said, you're a mom to a newborn and you don't have wet wipes with you. She said it in front of the whole class. And
that's so mean.
Yeah, which is pretty silly, but it was, you know, it was kind of embarrassing in the moment. Like, yeah, well, and it didn't change either. I was always that mom who, oops, forgot diapers, oops, forgot to change the clothes, you know? So
yeah, she must have not known that she's part of this sisterhood, and she was kind of
right. Right, exactly.
Okay, great. If you could go for 1 week vacation on a stranded island, what would you take with you?
What would I take with me? Well, my husband for sure.
Good answer. Good answer.
My husband for sure. And then there's a German book that's unfortunately not translated into English yet. I've actually got that on my radar to reach out and ask to translate it. But it's called The Path of the Empress, which is how I would translate the title, The Path of the Empress. And it's a female empowerment book, and it's like my Bible. It's just the most amazing female empowerment book. And it just always gets me so energized and makes me feel so alive. And so I would definitely take that. What else would I
that's
take?
It. I said one. No more.
Oh, I'm not allowed. Okay.
No, that's okay. It. All right. Great. And for our last question today, if you could give yourself one tip before you became a mom, what would it be?
Hang in there. This is the biggest blessing you'll ever have in your life. And even if you can't see it in the moment, it's like when you're swimming in the ocean and a storm rolls in and the current pulls you out, you know, all of the experts say, just stay calm and just sort of float until the storm passes. But once you start panicking and like, you know, waving your arms and trying to tread water, then you get too tired and you go under. So that's the tip I would give myself is there's always a new phase. There's always a new challenge. And then you get through it and you move on and you look back in hindsight and see, actually, it was a beautiful time. And actually, I missed that, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, so it's just the biggest blessing with all of the challenges.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Cynthia, for being here with us and for sharing your wisdom.
Thank you so much for having me. It was wonderful to chat.
Awesome. Thank you.